For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into the cooldown.
Alejandro Solana here live from the Kaseya Center, where the Miami Heat lose big tonight in Game 3. Your final score tonight, Nuggets 109, the Miami Heat 94. The Heat now trail the NBA Finals 2-1. First Game 3 they lose throughout this entire postseason. And want to dissect this game. We'll hear from Tommy Tighe in a little bit, try to head back down to the Miami Heat's locker room as well. Brennan Tobin is boots on the ground. He'll be sending us over some audio. And nowhere better to start here discussing this game on 560 WQAM than the disparity in rebounding tonight. Points in the paint. He got crushed down low, ladies and gentlemen. It really is as simple as that. You pair it with poor shooting. You pair it with a lack of effort. And, you know, you got what you got tonight. And that is Denver in the second half just taking control of this game. But it really all starts with Denver dominating right from the jump in the paint. Offensively, 16 of their first 20 points were in the paint tonight. So right away, it was obvious what their intentions were. But the Heat, you know, they never really properly adjusted. I thought Miami did a really good job in that first quarter, really matching the intensity level. And then at times in the first half as well, getting to their spots. But Denver, they win the battle down low tonight, 60-34. 60 points in the paint for Denver compared to Miami's 34. Rebounding was an issue for the Heat. Denver has a 25-rebound advantage tonight. Also had 14 second-chance points off of 13 offensive rebounds. They killed this Heat team in all the areas where Miami prides themselves on constantly competing. The hustle stats. And then Jokic and Murray, they both had 30-point triple-doubles tonight. First time ever in the regular season or postseason a pair of teammates does that. And it was scary, man, to watch those two go off tonight. You knew how good they were coming into the series. You felt like you did a really good job limiting Jamal Murray in Game 2. It's a part of how the Miami Heat were able to come back in the fourth quarter because of his lack of production. And tonight, that script was flipped because those two were the better duo in this game. And Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo played well, but nowhere on the level of Jokic and Murray. And, you know, you could tell from the start that Jimmy Butler, much more active than we've seen him. I thought for the first time in a couple games, Jimmy was actually getting to his spots, seemed to be a bit more mobile than he's been going back to Game 4 of that Boston series. And, you know, he just had that extra spring in his step, I thought, tonight. And early on, you could tell it was all there for Jimmy. He was getting to his spots, as I mentioned, and a lot more field goal attempts right away in this game, especially in that first half. Jimmy was already up to 16 field goal attempts, which is much different than we've seen from Jimmy Butler in quite some time. The problem is he only knocked down 6 of those shots and still settling at times for some three-pointers that may have seemed a bit ill-advised and for some jump shots, but most of his attempts were at the rim, and you love that aggression level from Jimmy Butler. Just couldn't knock down consistently enough looks, and you felt him and Bam early on, they had some really, really good looks that just didn't go down low. But even then, at half, you're down 5 only, right? And three-pointers didn't really go for Miami. Kevin Love gave you one early on, and you got a couple from Strus and from Gabe Vincent. Caleb Martin came in the second quarter and finally went on that run. He had a 7-0 run himself, or an 8-0 run himself, rather. So you felt pretty good going into halftime. You really did. And that's with Gabe Vincent only playing 12.5 minutes in that first half. Comes out in the first quarter, gets a basket in the second quarter. 3 quick fouls are called on him, where he only ends up playing 3 minutes in that quarter. Tony Brothers trying to flip this game around a little bit in the second, but the officials, ladies and gentlemen, are not the reason the Miami Heat lost this game. I'll make that very clear. But there definitely were some ticky-tack fouls in that second quarter, most of them going against Gabe Vincent. So he never really got into his rhythm. But I thought going into the halftime break, you felt good about this game. You really did. You're only down five. Things hadn't exactly gone your way. And then in the third quarter, that's when this game just totally turns around. You were out-rebounded 16-3. Denver scores the first 6 points, forcing Spo to call timeout. That right there should have been the message to this Heat team. Wake up. It's an 11-point game now. You were down five. You gave up the first 6 points. All six of those points, easy looks down low. That right there should have been the wake-up call to this team. All right, that's it. Enough with the bleep. Let's come out and let's respond the way that we know this Heat team is capable of. And you never got that response until 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Spo was forced to call a timeout, and the Heat were at their largest deficit of the game at 21. And that's when the Heat finally came out with the intensity and urgency that you needed them to come out with at that 10-03 mark or whatever it was after the Nuggets took an 11-point lead right away to start the third quarter. The Heat bottom line just came out of that halftime break like this was a regular season game and not the NBA Finals where you're at jeopardy of going down again in this series 2-1. Looking ahead to game four, I mean, talked about the way Denver just killed you on the hustle stats, killed you down low tonight. The Heat, they're going to have their hands full already. You know that. Trying to limit Murray and Jokic, the idea of those guys going for 30-point triple-doubles again is not likely. But the Miami Heat are going to have to come out and look like a different team right from the jump in terms of hustle and energy and just heart. I know it's a sports cliche, I get it, but that's what seemed to be lacking tonight at times for this team. And go back to that third quarter, Jokic was 5 of 6, knocked down a 3-pointer. Murray was 3 of 4. They shot 56.5% and only hit one 3-pointer, which was the one Jokic hit. Denver didn't even have to shoot threes tonight because everything was going for them down low. Just a frustrating night here at the Kaseya Center. Not the way you were hoping the Heat's first NBA Finals home game since 2014 would go. Denver, again, dominates tonight. We'll continue to react to this game on the other side. Tommy Tighe will join me. Your final tonight, 109-94. Plus, really hoping to get some locker room sound as well after this one. You're listening to The Cooldown. I am Alejandro Solana live here from the Kaseya Center. The Cooldown, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. It continues next. Game 3 of the NBA Finals does not go in the Heat's way. It goes to Denver. Your final tonight, 109-94. This is 560 WQAM. Welcome back to the Cooldown. Tonight, the Miami Heat, they lose Game 3 of the NBA Finals, 109-94. Denver takes a 2-1 lead. Following tonight, Game 4 will be Friday night, 8:30 p.m. Welcome in Tommy Tighe now for some final thoughts on this one. Again, we're live here from the Kaseya Center. Tommy Spo said something that he said a couple times throughout this postseason following a loss. The idea that they only have one day off, they'll be right back here 48 hours later. And you have to imagine, you know, we're going to see a different type of team in terms of, in my opinion, intensity and an effort, hustle as well. It's kind of what I was discussing in the first segment that, you know, again, you just didn't see it through 48 minutes tonight. And I just think when Jokic and Murray are playing this well together, they complement each other so well. Probably the best duo Miami's seen in these playoffs, which is crazy considering they had Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday,
right,
and Tatum.
Brown and Tatum.
And Brown as well. But these two are different, right? Because you saw it tonight when they're both playing together and they're both playing at that level, the highest level. I mean, they really do complement each other so well. And I think it showed tonight where they both had 30-point triple-doubles and they just bested Miami. But I still think it really comes down to the energy, the hustle, the intensity from the Heat, maintaining it for the entire 48 minutes.
You know what's really crazy about that is I watched one of the all-time greats walk over and see us. I was stunned for a second. We might as well bring him on. Yeah, Michael Wallace, ladies and gentlemen,
Michael Wallace, who joined us earlier today on WQAM.
Oh, see, that's why you flew him in for this.
I flew him right
for
in.
Game number three.
Yeah, I put it on Channing Crowder's credit card.
Can we get him a headset, please? Go ahead, ask him the same question you asked me, because I've already probably run over this.
Yeah.
I want to steal this kind of idea.
Michael Wallace from Grind City Media is joining us here. Mike, I was just expressing to Tommy that I don't think, you know, when you look at what happened tonight outside of Jokic and Murray, I mean, they were incredible. First time ever in the NBA. Two players on the same team have 30-point triple-doubles. But outside of that, Denver, 60-34 advantage points in the paint, 58-33 rebounding advantage. That's a plus 25 rebounding advantage. I don't think the Heat really matched their physicality level or their intensity level for 48 minutes tonight. And I think it showed in the third quarter when they really blew this game wide open.
Yeah, I mean, for the first 3 minutes of the game, they did. I thought Bam Adebayo came out with spectacular energy. I mean, he attacked. He went right at Jokic. But I think the Miami Heat got away from that. And when they stopped making shots, they couldn't counter the physicality that the Denver Nuggets played with. When you look at the numbers right here, I mean, points in the paint and the rebounding battle, that decided this game. I mean, the Nuggets had 60 points in the paint, 26 more than the Heat scored in the paint. They had 58 rebounds, 25 more boards than the Heat could counter with. So when you can't keep that team from getting downhill and getting into the paint, you really can't match up with them. And sometimes the Denver Nuggets are just simply too big, too strong, and too deep in that department. And when they play to that identity, there's not many counters that you can offer if you're the Miami Heat.
You know, Alejandro, I'll tell you one thing. The reason why the Denver Nuggets are here is because of Michael Wallace. Because I remember the last time he came on Heat Weekly, he actually showed them where the practice floor was and everything to try to get them
ready. Oh, you remember that?
Of course I remember that. I couldn't stop laughing the whole time, putting my mic off. Just say, he's trying to tell one of their players, I don't know which one it was. I don't know if it was Jokic or any of them. Gordon.
It was the whole team. It was the whole.
They were the whole team.
They were in the freight elevator.
If you sent them in the wrong direction, then maybe they wouldn't have been here tonight, and you guys would have won that game on Saturday night and would have gone from there.
I forgot totally about that.
So,
man.
Well, how could you have forgotten that?
That's crazy.
Michael Wallace is giving the scouting report to the opposing team.
Yeah, to beat his own team. Mike?
We were in the middle of Heat Weekly at that time, and I mean literally in the middle of the interview, and I was right outside the freight elevator at FedEx Forum, and the Nuggets were coming in for shoot around, and they got lost. And they, you know, you got Jokic and a whole bunch of 6'10", 6'11 guys coming off the elevator, not knowing where to go. So I had to direct them to the floor while we were doing the interview at the time.
Right.
So that was amazing, man. And to think that was a turning point, honestly. I talked to Mike Malone and a couple of Nuggets players about that. They lost that game.
Heat Weekly was the turning point of the whole season for Denver Nuggets.
That was the lowest. I mean, they ended up they got trounced by Miami, by the Grizzlies in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Scored their lowest points of the season, and you know, Michael Malone called out his team's effort, and then they went on and wrapped it up after that and took the number one seed in the West.
Does he do it that often, call out his team's effort? I mean, this team is fantastic. There's no question
in
my mind.
And he did it after game two.
But he seems to do it time to time over the course of the season whenever they lose.
Yeah.
Does he do that that often?
He does, and I think that's a level of – and I don't want to say immaturity from a coaching standpoint because he's been around the game a long time.
Yeah.
But I think at a certain point when you realize where your team is – you don't want them to freeze up, and you don't want to always pull the motivation card in terms of effort. This team is fantastic. They're put together well. And again, when you have Jokic and Murray playing like they're playing, I just did my stand-up piece for Grind City Media, and I said, listen, this guy did not get the regular season MVP, but unless the Heat can come back with a rally, I mean, he's definitely headed for the finals MVP to complete that set.
They definitely would rather have that, to be honest with you. Once you have an MVP, I mean, what's another one? You know, you got to get the finals one.
You do.
There's no question about it. He's a phenomenal talent. It's funny, Mike, because I don't know if you knew this. The last time the Heat beat this team in Denver was 2016.
Yeah.
They had Jokic on the bench backing up Nurkic.
Yep.
And they had Murray, who wasn't playing that often either.
Nope.
You think about how far along they've come as a duo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they've known each other for so long, and that's got to help them with the experience they picked up together.
That's just that continuity. They went through injuries. They went through roster changeovers and all of those kind of things because, you know, at that point they were playing Wilson Chandler and some of the older
guys.
And Murray was young. And then, obviously, he went through his knee issues and all of those kind of things. But when you stick to it, when you stick beside Mike Malone and you allow this team to grow, this is the result. They're ready for this moment right now, even though they hadn't gotten this far yet. But they certainly don't look like they're, you know, they're blinking like deers in the headlights right now. But having said that, as I said in my piece, I will not count out the Miami Heat. I've seen what they can do. You know, again, this is a team that took out the number one seed Bucks. They took out the number two seed Celtics on the road with a blowout. And just when their backs are seemingly against the wall, they come out with a response. How do you do it? You have to be able to make sure that you got to disrupt Denver one way or another. You got to slow them down, and you have to be able to knock down shots that you haven't been able to knock down in two of the three games in this series. You have to be able to capitalize at the free throw line and turn them over, get some points off turnovers, and win that battle. You're not going to win the boards battle. You're not going to win the paint points battle, but you have to be at least a little bit competitive in that standpoint.
I was going to say, I don't think Luke Babbitt and Josh McRoberts are coming out of that locker room. Last time the Heat won in Denver, they were in the starting lineup, which is crazy to think about, and Jokic and Murray were coming off the bench. but you mentioned, you know, how the Heat can get it done.
Yeah. What was that year again?
2016, November 30th.
2016-17.
Yeah.
Okay.
A memorable year for the Miami Heat. They started 11-30.
Yeah, that was – I had just left. I just left. Yes, I just left. Yes, I remember that.
Yes, I had a heart attack. I'll never forget it.
That was the Hassan Whiteside years.
Yeah, when they allowed a Carl White and James Johnson to bring up the ball, the next day end up in the hospital.
Yes.
Wow. But, no, this one is far from over, man. Guys, I think, you know, again, you know, Miami is a resilient team. You know, the respect that I – you know, I was up there – my seats were up there where the retired jerseys are, man. And I kept looking up and looking
across.
That's
probably the first time you've ever been up there.
It probably was. I couldn't find my way up there, man. And it was just one of those kind of things. But these guys see banners. They see retired jerseys. They go through the tunnels and they see, you know, the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
They know what the expectation is. And they're not going to back down. Jimmy Butler's going to be positive like he always is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, this is it. They have to play the hardest that they've ever had to play in order to stay with this Nuggets team.
Do they need to knock down threes? I mean, Denver's done it now. Two wins, shooting below 30%, and the Heat get to 31%. But we're being honest. Duncan Robinson made a couple threes at the end here.
Yeah.
Do the Heat need to shoot, you know, 40-plus percent to beat this Nuggets team? Because the one game that they did thus far, they won. And the only two that they haven't, they kind of weren't even in it in the second half.
Well, they have to be able to offset the paint points, though. Like, I don't care how you do it. You know, when Miami's playing to their identity, they are able to knock down three-point shots, and they shot almost 50% in game two. I don't know if they're going to be able to shoot that clip, but you just can't get annihilated in the paint. Like I said, when you're outscored 26 in the paint and out-rebounded by 25 on the glass, cut that in half. And the complexion of this game changes, right? You're not going to win those categories, but you have to be a little bit more competitive in those areas in order to give yourself a fighting chance against this team because, again, Jokic is a machine,
mm-hmm.
and Murray. Here's the thing, guys, and you guys have seen all of these games. The one thing that Denver is doing that Boston could have done and never did, they did not adjust and value the mid-range and the paint.
Mm-hmm.
They never did. They tried to outshoot Miami from three,
right?
And they minimized their size advantage. Denver is not going to minimize their size advantage in this series. They're going to dictate with it, and that's the difference between this team and the teams that the Heat have seen so far.
Well, I can't stomach another Christian Brown slam.
Ooh, 7 of 8.
And then flexing on this Miami crowd. So hopefully the Heat can get it done in game four. Michael Wallace.
Yeah. And we talked about it. Talked about it earlier on Hawk and Crowder. I said that Malone was going to go to his bench and rely on some guys.
When's he coming on Hawk and Crowder again, Friday?
Than he has before, man. No, I gotta catch a plane tomorrow. You know, I came in and, you know, saw, and hopefully the Heat can even this thing up. I do think they will win Friday, sending back to Denver tied up 2-2.
Thanks for stopping by.
Tommy,
hey, anytime. I owed you an appearance, too. I couldn't make the last one.
We'll see what happens. I'm free Saturday.
Tommy.
All right.
I'm looking for people.
As much as I love Mike Wallace, the Heat are 0-1 with him back in Miami.
Oh. So being on this program.
If I have to drive him to the airport.
That is true.
If I have to drive him to the airport, we're going to test it out. No, but seriously.
The Heat are also 3 championships when I'm on the
building. That is true, too.
When I'm in the building.
That's right.
Very true.
So, yeah, that'll work.
Even if he doesn't know how to get around the building.
That is very true.
Thank
Michael
you guys.
Wallace,
thank you.
Appreciate you coming up here and joining us. Tommy Tighe, appreciate you as well. I will talk to you on Friday for Game 4.
I plan on being here.
All right, let's take one final break here on the other side. Hopefully we get back down to the Heat locker room. If not, I'll give you some final thoughts here from the Kaseya Center, where the Miami Heat, they lose big tonight, 109-94. Denver takes a 2-1 advantage into Game 4, which will be Friday night, 8:30 p.m. You're listening to The Cooldown. I'm Alejandro Solana, 560 WQAM, following this rough loss for the Miami Heat. One thing that certainly changed from Games 1 and 2 into today, lack of scoring from Gabe Vincent. A rough one tonight for Gabe. He was 1 of 6 for 3, 2 of 10 overall, just 7 points from Namdi. And you're starting backcourt tonight. Max Strus, 1 of 7. They combined 3 of 17, 2 of 10 from 3. Just 10 points between those two, and just not good enough tonight from either of them. I do think Gabe Vincent, kind of tough break for him tonight because he plays his usual minutes in the first quarter. In the second, when he comes in to the game, mentioned it earlier, a couple fouls that were called on Gabe Vincent that were a bit questionable, but because of that, had to go to the bench twice. Next time he came back out on the court, Spo had to send him right back to the bench because he picked up his third foul, but not the night you were hoping from Gabe Vincent. And he's speaking now to the media, so let's head down to the Heat's locker room.
Following our game plan, I think we got away from that a little bit. You know, we have a small margin of error, so, you know, we got to be more detailed with our stuff.
Awesome.
A very difficult task right now, I mean, especially tonight. I mean,
every team we've played this playoff run has had quote-unquote size on us, so we're not going to start making that excuse now, respectfully.
Were they protecting when they're on defense, protecting the three-point line a lot more tonight than previous game?
I think that was more of a product of our lack of detail offensively. I think just our spacing and our intention.
When you talk about spacing and intention, how do you guys get more of a flow to your offense? Obviously, you know, the spacing and intention have to be there, but what specifically, you know, can you guys work on differently to have a different approach in the next game?
We'll get back to the film and game plan and come out with better intention game 4.
Gabe, that's a message that was said in here right after the game, I would assume.
Say it again.
That's the message. What's the message that was
The message was said to the team from the coach, and we're going to get ready for game 4.
All right, so you heard it there. A lot of the same stuff from Coach Spo and there from Gabe Vincent, kind of mentioning the same talking points. More intentional offense from this Heat team. And, you know, to a certain extent, I think that's fair tonight. But it's hard for me to have watched that third quarter and not kind of, you know, criticize the Miami Heat a little bit with the way that they just came out tonight in terms of their energy. And you're hoping that's just not the case. But I do think there are certain adjustments, as Mike Wallace was just discussing, that can be made for the Miami Heat. You know, when Jokic catches at the elbow or at the free throw line or just above the top of the key, you know this Nuggets team now is sending Aaron Gordon, Christian Brown when he's in the game, Bruce Brown when he's in the game. They're sending them just cutting directly to the basket, really trying to take advantage of the Miami Heat and kind of catch them sleeping. I thought Kyle Lowry did a really good job tonight when he was in the game of helping off the weak side on Jokic and really trying to disrupt his activity with the ball in his hands. But the Heat weren't able to keep that pressure on him. And those passes from Jokic to his cutting teammates just opened up everything for their offense. And then the Heat, they failed to recover properly. And I thought a lot of that happened in this game where Denver just took advantage and they realized that they had that advantage throughout most of this game, especially in that second half. And the Heat, without their shooting, they just got absolutely crushed tonight down low and they were never able to respond. The way that they were able to respond, down 16, let's not forget that, in game 2. So Miami will have their hands full. We know how good Jokic is, right? This isn't a shock. This isn't a surprise. Two-time MVP. Probably should have won his third MVP this season as well. And the fact that he's putting up another triple-double shouldn't come as a surprise either. This is his 10th triple-double in the NBA postseason thus far, setting once again a record that he set himself with 9 in a single postseason. but you can't let Murray go off for 30 as well and have a triple-double, and can't let their role players, as Tommy and I had discussed prior to this game, you can't let their role players go nuts. And, man, Christian Brown tonight, 15 points, 7 of 8 from the field. I mentioned him just stealing a pass, going down the floor, breakaway dunk, and he's flexing on us here at the Kaseya Center. You can't let that happen. You can't let Christian Brown have 15 points in an NBA Finals game. And that's what transpired here tonight. You catch another break with Michael Porter Jr. struggling from three. That's the guy that's supposed to be beating you outside of Murray and Jokic. And even, you know, despite his struggles, Denver has found an answer. And if you're the Miami Heat, you've done this all postseason long. You've found a way to respond to adversity. The Heat always talk about doing it in the mud and having to suffer and doing it the hard way. Well, tonight, you know, you suffered in that second half. You never led, and you were down double digits again in the NBA Finals for most of it, and they're going to have to figure out a way here to limit Denver from what worked for them tonight and respond to even this series back up 2-2 after game four, and you're feeling pretty good. You just got to win two of the next three. You've already won one in Denver. The formula is there for Miami. Now it's just up to them to go out and execute. Couple other local things before we head out of here. It's a big day for South Florida sports. Let's not forget Lionel Messi confirmed that he is joining Inter Miami today. It really is one of the biggest, I shouldn't say signing, but one of the biggest sport additions in the history of the United States in their Big Four leagues or Big Five leagues. So South Florida continues to be the epicenter of the sports world, and Leo Messi just made it that much greater. Florida Panthers, tomorrow, Stanley Cup Finals, Game 3. They need a victory as well. They can't afford to go down 3-0. 8 p.m. puck drop tomorrow is when that game will take place. From Sunrise, back-to-back-to-back-to-back finals games. Didn't start the way you wanted it tonight here at the Kaseya Center. Hopefully the Panthers can rebound and the Heat can get this one tied up on Friday night. Thank you very much to our engineer here tonight, Gary Abar, Matthew Wilson, and Trevor Harris back at the studio. Excellent tonight as always. Jason Jackson, Amy Audibert, excellent on tonight's broadcast. And Tommy Tighe, appreciate him for sticking around here as he always does. Michael Wallace, special appearance by him tonight as well. Appreciate everybody who tuned in. Your final score tonight, once again, 109-94. Denver leads this one 2-1. I will speak to everybody tomorrow, 2-6. Hockman and Crowder will actually be live at FLA Live Arena to cover the Stanley Cup Finals. Pretty cool. And then Friday, 7 p.m., right back here at the Kaseya Center, Game 4, NBA Finals. Bring your guts. Heat aren't out of it yet, Heat Nation. Just got to get one, and then you move from there. Again, 7 p.m. Friday night for another edition of Miami Heat Basketball right here on your home for the Miami Heat, 560 WQAM.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.